All right, WCDR listeners, it is my honor at this time to bring to you a man whose show, The Wind Down, airs after my show, The Marcus Moore Show, Sunday evenings from 8 to 9. He is the prince of sophisticated soul. Of course, he says it a lot better than I do. Joining me via phone, it is Mr. Will Downing.
What's going on?
Not a whole lot. What's going on with you? How are you feeling today?
Man, I'm feeling really good. I'm excited about the new project that's out that we, you know, we're probably going to talk a little bit about.
We will
and
be talking about
it. Well, man, no complaints.
Very, very good. Let's just go ahead and get this out the way. How did you become known as the Prince of Sophisticated Soul?
Someone a whole lot more creative and smarter than me gave the title. Oddly enough, I was doing an interview with, it was a college station, and the guy just said it. He said, "Hey man, you're, in my opinion, you're the Prince of Sophisticated Soul." I said, "Well, okay, well, who's the king?"
I was about to ask, who's the king?
Luther Vandross.
There we go, okay.
So I said, I can't dispute that one, so I was more than happy to take the title. As long as I'm not the court jester, I guess I'm good. I'll run with the prince.
You know, I was saying on my show a couple of weeks ago, I feel like I'm the court jester. Because on my show, I like to crack jokes and just kind of lighten the mood a bit. So I felt like the clown jester. So, you know, I will more than be I'm okay with that.
I'm not. So, we'll find a better title for you.
Okay, yeah, find me a better title. I know you're a songwriter, so you can definitely find some better words than I can. And I say that as an English teacher by trade. But
so, hey, and still probably better than half the kids out here. So you're doing fine. You're good.
Right. So now, how long ago was that interview where you got crowned Prince of Sophisticated Soul?
Probably about 4 or 5 years ago.
So it's fairly recent then, I guess.
Yeah. I don't think you actually are able to be dubbed anything unless you put in at least 20 years. So I think I've done that.
You've definitely put in the miles on that.
Yeah.
On that career. So, okay, you're a native of Brooklyn.
Yes.
The borough, the best borough, I'm sure you agree.
Well, they call Brooklyn the borough of kings.
Ah, there you go.
You know, yeah.
So what's your favorite memory of home for you growing up in Brooklyn?
Oh, man, there are way too many to count. You know, I was born and raised there. Actually, mom is still there. Oh. So I'm in Brooklyn all the time. Probably just literally growing up across the street from a park. I grew up in the projects in Brooklyn, and we lived right across the street from a park called St. John's Park. And that was like the highlight of the day.
Yeah.
You know, knock your homework out so you can run across the street and play, you know, play basketball, baseball, whatever. So it was a really good childhood, man. I had no complaints. If you talk to my parents, they tell you that we were poor. I had no idea. I was too busy around. But
now, were you in by the lights?
Oh, you think I wasn't? Everybody was. Everybody saw that street light coming on.
Yeah.
Flying down the street.
I know that's right. I have three older sisters. Actually, I have five older sisters, and all five of them grew up in Brooklyn. So,
Okay.
Yeah, so Brooklyn is a little bit of part of my life right there because my sisters. So, what inspires your songwriting? When you sit down and when you sit down to write a song, what inspires you?
Well, I mean, I don't consider myself to be like a prolific songwriter of the likes of like a Babyface or Bill Withers or anyone like that.
Right.
But when I do write, I try to write from life experiences. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the songs I've kind of experienced on my own, or I have a lot of good friends, and when we get together and we have our kind of man sessions and release sessions and confession sessions, you know, some of the ideas, you know, come from those conversations as well.
Right.
And obviously we changed the name to protect the innocent.
Oh, of course.
The old TV show.
Or the guilty, as I like to say sometimes, you know, right to, you know, change the names to protect the guilty or the innocent.
The guilty or the innocent,
yeah.
Correct.
Now, so you really basically are following what I like to call the first rule of writing, which is write about what you know.
Oh, definitely write about what you know, what you live, what you experience, and the sincerity of what you're singing will shine. Will, it'll shine through a lot more so than if you're making up, you know, the fact that you live in a mansion or you got 50 cars or, you know, you hung like a horse or whatever.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You write about what you know, but hopefully it's sincere enough, like you said.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now, over the span of your career, your albums, I'm sure you have a favorite original song of yours. What is that?
You have a probably song? The original that I've penned, probably Sorry Eye. That's probably like the one closest to my heart. And as far as a song that I didn't write that I've sung on,
an interpretation.
Well, actually, not even an interpretation. Maybe a song that someone else has written.
Yeah.
Rochelle Farrell. Nothing Has Ever Felt.
Oh, she has a great voice.
Yeah, she's
great
amazing. Voice.
Great voice.
Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so let's talk about the new album. The new album is called Black Pearls. It was released this past Friday. What was your motivation for the album? What inspired you to say, oh, I want to put this set of songs together?
Well, oddly enough, I was talking with a friend of mine who actually works with me. And we were both discussing Phyllis Hyman. I used to open up for Phyllis quite a bit, and he worked with Phyllis from the management standpoint. And, you know, first and foremost, if you really know Phyllis, the first thing that you share with another person is what funny story you have that, you know, that was involving you and Phyllis. And everyone that really knows her has one.
Okay.
Trust me on that one.
Okay.
So we were discussing that, and then, you know, we got around to talking about music and songs that she had done. And I said, "Man, what was your favorite Phyllis song?" And he said, "Meet Me on the Moon." I said, "Man, what a coincidence. I was going to say that." But normally when you say that song, most people kind of scratch their heads because it was a popular song by her, but it wasn't like the most popular.
Right.
You know, if you say You Know How to Love Me or Living All Alone, you know, everyone kind of knows which is what you're talking about.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But if you say Meet Me on the Moon, like, I think I know that one. But she would do that song live and it would be incredible. And I said, man, I don't think anyone has ever covered that song. So I decided to do a version of it.
Okay.
And it came out so well that it kind of made me start thinking about what else, what other songs I could do. And it kind of shaped into, okay, who are my all-time favorite female vocalists? And maybe I should do a song originally done by them.
Wow. Well, the first single is the cover of the Sherelle classic, Everything I Miss at Home.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was it about that song that just said, oh yeah, this is going to be the song that leads off the album?
I think with a song like that, the subject matter was really important to me. You know, in the days and times that we're living in now, you always hear women who are obviously empowered, but sometimes they use it in the wrong way. So they'll say nasty things like, you know, hey, if you can't satisfy me, I'll find someone else to do everything that I'm missing home. So the comeback is, okay, well, you know, that door kind of goes both ways, you know, revolves. It's a revolving door, and a can say that as well, and it doesn't sound as nice coming from a man. It doesn't sound nice coming from a man either.
Right.
So, listen, if you aren't doing the right thing, then, you know, he can also find someone else to do everything that he misses at home. So it's a wake-up call to, you know, to both sexes.
Yeah, it's just like when Janet sings about, what have you done for me lately?
Right.
You know, it's very... It's a hit on the head. It's like, I need to do better. If a man says, yeah, well, what have you done for me lately? You're like, jerk. Yeah, look what I provided for you. You know.
Yeah, whatever the case may be, all I know is there's some sort of rebuttal, you know, to the question or to the thing. Like, hey, if you don't pick your game up, I can always find someone else that
there's
will.
There's always an upgrade somewhere else.
It's always an upgrade.
Absolutely. So, I love the wind down. There are lots of people who listen to the show after mine on WCDR. It's a hit. What got you into the radio show game? What brought you into that?
Well, I kind of, when I first started out my career, I was kind of dibbing and dabbing in radio, and that was 28 years ago anyway. But this is long before, obviously, the internet and internet stations and things of that. But I used to do like the Quiet Storm in New York. I would fill in for some of the jocks, or I did the morning show, and you know, so I've always kind of done it. I got really sick in 2007, and to the point where I couldn't work and I couldn't perform and I couldn't do anything. I was hospitalized and in most cases in a wheelchair and in a hospital bed. And when I started like making my recovery, the one thing I couldn't perform, but the one thing that I could do was radio.
Right. Okay.
So I started this process back then. I started doing these wind downs back in 2007. And it was just a way for me to kind of stay in the game and, you know, to keep my interest in music and also introduce new music as well. So that has been the journey. I mean, here we're on 2016 and I'm still doing it as a weekly show. So it's very exciting to me. I think there's a lot of good music out there that doesn't get a lot of shine or a lot of attention put on it. And I try to do that with my show as well as playing some classic songs, and we have some little fun segments in there as well with interpretations, which is one song by two artists, and then we pay tribute to a music legend at the end of the show. So, you know, it's a 1 hour show that's jam packed with a lot of good music.
It is. I do hang around and listen to your show after mine, and I tell you, you put on a really good show, and so I'm you know, once again, I'm in an enviable position to be like, I need to step my game up.
I'm doing what I'm doing,
but I can always do better. But I tell you, it's great to be pre-show before the main event for you.
Stop so. It, man! You are not an opening act, my man.
Thank you.
It's equal billing, you know. Both names on the marquee are the same size.
Oh well, and I will gladly share with you. I love it.
There you go.
Now let's talk. Let's go back to the new album. The one song that I have to say is my favorite on the album is "Get Here."
Oh wow! Yeah.
And I tell you, you like smoothed that song out. Like I can just hear you just like put the notes and just made it just smoothed it out like a steamroller. What I'm just impressed by that interpretation of that song. What about that song that just appeals to you?
Well, first and foremost, thank you. It was probably one of the hardest songs on the project to sing, mainly because the original version, which is Brenda Russell, and then the person that made it even more popular was Olita Adams.
Absolutely,
their versions are like iconic to me, and they put it down so hard you can't imagine hearing the song any other way. So even when I'm singing it, I'm like channeling them and kind of going, okay, let me stop. Let me do this again. I need to add my kind of thing to it. So, you know, that song took me a while to do, to kind of find my way, because, like I said, the vocals on both vocals that they had done on the original and on the most popular remake of it are so iconic, I had to find my way.
I tell you, the Olita Adams version was so inescapable.
Oh yeah!
When it came out, like wasn't it a Greyhound ad?
I believe so. Yeah. It was for that. It was also for I think like the services, the armed services.
Yeah, used, it was. When
the troops were overseas, you know, so it had. It was just tearing at people's and tugging at people's heartstrings. So. You know, ooh,
yeah,
man, and you know, and the lyric, you know, kind of, that's what it means. You know, I mean, it's very heartfelt. It's what everyone wants to say, like, hey, I'm missing you so bad. I don't care how you get here. I just need you now. Get here. And you can't write anything more, you know,
heartfelt than that. You can't get more direct than get there.
No. Yeah. A lot of Brenda Russell's songs, I like that. I mean, she's one of my all-time favorite female vocalists. And I know that people are probably kind of going, really? Mm-hmm. I kind of view vocalists from a different, you know, I judge them from a different standpoint. You know, there are obviously a lot of better singers out there. But if you can deliver a performance that is sincere and have the notes right, man, it doesn't get any better than that.
Oh, that is like one of the great joys in life right there, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, she says it and she wrote it, and you just kind of believe it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You're
before you know it, a tear is rolling down your eye.
Yeah, if you're not feeling that, there's something like not right with you in your life. You don't have a soul or something. If you're not like, if it's not, but I'll tell you, your version of that song, you got me right there, because it was, man. And I was listening to it in the car, and I have to say, that is, you impressed me with just how you turned that cover around, because I was just like, oh, that song was inescapable back in the early 90s, right?
Early 90s, yeah. Oh, yep.
Wow. So, okay. So what would be your dream collaboration? Or has that already happened?
No, it hasn't happened. I mean, I've done some great collaborations that, you know, I didn't know would be as iconic as they became, like, you know, like the song with Rochelle, Nothing's Ever Felt. I mean, when we first heard that song, we didn't know. I mean, you know, we thought it sounded good, but we didn't know it would become what it became. And I've had, you know, some great collaborations with like Stevie Wonder and some Misha Paris was another one of mine, who's more internationally known than domestic, but what an amazing voice. The one person, there's a few people, but the one person that I've always wanted to sing with, and I do plenty of shows with her, but we've just never done any duets together, is Layla Hathaway.
Oh, yeah. That's a great voice right there.
Yeah, her voice is no joke.
That's definitely God-given talent from, like, her father and just... Oh, gosh. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be. I think so. And we just have to convince her.
Well, definitely. Layla Hathaway, come on. Let's get on board with this.
I've been saying it for years. I think it's torture now. I think she's just torturing me.
Okay, we're going to have to start a petition or something. That is, that would be a great, great collaboration. And it doesn't matter what the song would be, because it's going to be great from both of you all. So your wife, Audrey, must have a favorite song that she likes to hear you sing, unless she's tired of hearing you sing all over the place or something.
I think she's tired of hearing me sing.
But if she wasn't tired of you, if she wasn't tired of you singing all over the place, what song just does it for her?
You know what? I don't know. I think one of the older ones, like "I Go Crazy."
That song.
Yeah, man, that's probably one of her favorites, and she sang background on that one as well. So, yeah, I think that would probably be one of her classics. Favorites.
See, that's how I discovered you, was you did the cover of I Go Crazy. And I was just like, yeah, I like this guy. I really am just vibing with what he's singing, especially for, you know, I remember the original, but you really like, that was when I knew, hey, I like this music. I like this guy. I like wanting to hear more. So,
thank you.
I Go Crazy is definitely one of my favorites. So I've played that a couple of times on my show. So
cool.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
As long as we don't do it in concert, there's gonna be a problem.
Oh, is that a must sing in concert?
Please. Please, if the show is not going well, as soon as they hear, we got him. Here we go.
Oh, man. Now, what else is a must sing at the concert?
Well, there's a bunch of them. A Million Ways. You know, you see the hands go up in the air. I Go Crazy, Wishing on a Star, Nothing's Ever Felt. After Tonight is another one. Can't Help It, the Michael Jackson, you know, Stevie Wonder pen song, is another biggie. So, you know, when you come see me in concert, we pretty much do the best of what I've done over the last 28 years and 18 albums. So, yeah, they start calling stuff out, like Sorry I.
And, so they start becoming a request line after a while, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then after the show, inevitably there's someone that walks up to you and says, "You didn't sing my song." Like, okay. Yeah, I mean, you can be up there sweating, you know, you can sweat 5 pounds off your body, and you didn't sing my song. Okay, what song is yours? It's song number 7 off CD number 9. Yeah, and I'm going, like, what is that? What? And it'll be some song that, like, I probably never, you know, did live or just recorded just that one time. And, you know, but, you know, my name is Stella. It's like, okay, I didn't sing Stella by Starlight. Yeah, you didn't sing that song. You'd be the only one standing up saying, "That's my jam right there."
Yeah, we are bad about not being very descriptive. You know, track 5 on your 5th album.
Of your 5th album. You know which one I'm talking about.
No,
you know.
No. Oh, that's funny. So you're involved in the at least according to your website, it says you're involved in the Muscular Dystrophy Association. What else are you involved in, charity wise?
The American Stroke Association is another.
Oh wow.
They asked me to be a spokesperson many years ago, and this is when they were trying to get entertainers to kind of up their visibility in the community. And, you know, they hand you a little script and they want you to read it, and you know, I was reading it. And my grandmother had been stricken with like a serious stroke when I was very young, and I kind of took it more to heart. Probably more so than the average person reading the script. Absolutely. And I decided to get a little bit more involved. And I put together something called Strike Against Stroke. Now, back in the day, I used to be a pretty decent bowler. And, hence the word strike, Strike Against Stroke. We put together these bowling events, and we would have the American Heart Association there, and they would hand out, you know, pamphlets and try to raise awareness to everybody came to the event. So hence the name Strike Against Stroke. So we'd have a good time, and people would learn about health awareness and heart awareness as well.
Oh, that must have been a very well attended event to be able to come out there and be supporting something as close to your heart, and people coming out there to support you doing something that you know is that passionate passionate for you. Oh goodness, that bowling! Oh, I'd be throwing gutter balls. That would be that would not be a charity event. That'd be a sad case for me.
Hey, if people came out, they had a good time.
Hey, I love bowling. I love watching other people bowl because you know it's just a great event. It's a great sport to watch other people just be goofy and enjoy. The company of others, even though there's a big 8-pound ball involved and some pins.
Yeah, man, I used to love bowling. I hadn't been in a while.
But it's been a while for me. Oh, man. So when you're not touring or recording and you're not bowling on the Professional Bowlers Association, what are you doing? What do you do for fun?
I like the movies.
What was the last movie you saw?
Last movie I saw probably, what did I say a couple of weeks ago? It wasn't that good. Maybe I shouldn't say it out loud then. I don't want to pan the movie.
Oh, okay.
What did I say? I saw, was it Gods of Egypt or something like that?
Oh, yeah, that wasn't very good.
No,
that wasn't very good. Yeah, I'll take the fall for that. You know.
No, it wasn't. What did I see that was good? That was really stupid, though. The Boss.
Oh, with Melissa McCarthy. Yeah.
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 Man, That's I haven't good. Laughed. My wife and I, we were in the movie theater. I thought they were going to kick us out. We were in there laughing out loud so hard.
She's a funny lady. I'm amazed at how her career has grown in over the last couple of years, because I just remember her from being on that TV show.
Yeah,
Molly, but she's just blown up, really. Just
she's hilarious.
What else do you like? What other things do you like to do when you're not?
I'm a photographer. That's my other thing. I love photography.
Really?
So, yeah. So I'll grab a camera and I'll, I like shooting. I'm more of a portrait guy.
Right.
I'll photograph anything.
Yeah. You ever have go back to that park in Brooklyn and take pictures?
No, they'll probably take my camera. Things have changed since.
Yeah, that's right. Probably not a good idea to.
No, I wouldn't do that.
yeah, that's probably not a recommended thing. Never mind then.
Yeah, the age of innocence was gone.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you go there now, it's not the same.
Yeah, but you probably can't even take a picture on your phone, and you probably wouldn't even have your phone afterwards,
Yeah.
Right. That's a nice picture. Oh, thank you for your phone.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I always wanted a six,
Right? I feel like my students, that they say the same thing when I pull my phone out to check it. They're like, "That's a nice six, Mr. Mo." I'm like, "Yeah, it's mine too. Get away."
Yeah.
What's the last book you read?
You know, I'm not a book reader.
Not a book reader?
Nah. If I want to fall asleep, I pick up a book. I'm one of those people. There used to be an old joke that said, if you want to hide your money, put it in a book.
Yeah.
Because certain people don't read. I'm one of them. I can read two pages of a book and then I'm out like a light.
Now, I imagine that you can probably throw down in the kitchen.
Yeah, I'm not bad.
I imagine you are pretty good in the kitchen. So what's your specialty of the house?
I can make a lot of the basic stuff. I mean, enough for me to be able to eat. I'm not going to win Chopped or anything like that.
Oh, okay. So we're not going to see you on any celebrity cooking show anytime
soon. No, you're not going to find me on Hell's Kitchen or anything like that. I'm not that guy. I can make food to the point where no one's insulted, no one gets sick, and you get the nourishment. I don't cook the nutritional value out of the food. So
right, you're not burning water. You're not like gonna boil the pot out, or
there you go,
or burning toast or anything.
Yeah. We're not soaking the pan overnight because the food got burnt to and it won't come up. All right. I can do everything, but it's nothing fancy.
No. Hey, keep it simple. Keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
Now, back to the album just for a moment. There are 10 tracks on this new album. What songs didn't make the cut? Or am I giving away too much because there may be like a follow-up to this album?
Man, you read my mind.
Oh.
Exactly.
So
there were
more to come.
Yeah, well, depending on how well this does. If this does well, then and people would like to hear a part two, we have enough material for part two. The process for what didn't make it, was very difficult.
I bet
it was. Very difficult.
One thing I will say, as I was listening to your album and the name you mentioned the name earlier in the interview, what I heard, what I could hear, was Luther Vandross.
Oh yeah.
Like, you have, since his passing, I feel like you have, with your voice, just a very effortless voice and how smooth your voice is. I feel like you've picked up his baton and just ran that race and continue to have run that race that he has, because, I remember, what I loved about Luther was that he always had like those backup singers.
Oh yeah.
And you got them on definitely on the Everything I Miss at Home. They're just singing along with you.
Oh yeah.
And
oh yeah.
It's just I felt like I was like, this is like a something Luther would just be proud to listen to at home.
Like he would probably hate me.
He'd probably be like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, he was very competitive.
Yeah.
And he actually, probably one of the funniest things that ever happened to me in my career happened with him.
Really? What's that?
Oh, yeah. It's a bit of a lengthy story, but I'll try to cut it down.
Okay, we got a little bit of time.
Yeah, I'm at home one day, and this is probably in like 91.
Okay.
And it was off of the Dream Fulfilled record, the song I Try, right?
Okay.
So there was another journalist who is from England who has a very, 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 very distinctive accent when he speaks, right? So you can't, there's no way around it. When he speaks, you know it's him, okay? So that's important to the story. All right, so I get a call one day, I'm at home, and I have a friend of mine, a singer, a guy named Curtis King, and me and Curtis would play tricks on each other and jokes on each other just because. So, like, Curtis would call me and say, okay, man, there's a background session. They're doing some background vocals this session. They want you to come, and the address is 265 West 15th Street. I'm just making this up, right? So he says, and it's at this time. And then on that day, I would go to 265 West 15th Street, and there was no 265 West 15th Street.
Oh, no.
we would play tricks like that on each other, right?
Okay.
So one day I get this phone call at home, and this guy gets on the phone, and he goes, man, I just wanted to tell you that I love your voice. And I love what you did with this song by Angela Bofill.
Okay.
So I'm on the other end. I'm like, yeah, okay. I said, and who is this? And I'm thinking that it's Curtis, right?
Okay.
I said, who is this? He goes, it's Luther. I said, Luther who? Right? He goes, yeah, Luther Vandross. Yeah, okay. I said, well, hey, man. Why is it that every time I release a record, you release a record, and you know,
right?
Now I'm always having these problems trying to sell because of you. So the guy on the other end says, well, you know, you can't move the Empire State Building. And I said, oh, okay. I said, well, you can give me Macy's, it's right up the street. And so I'm laughing, and there's no chuckling on the other end. All right, so I said, all right, Mr. Luther Vandross. I said, how'd you get my number anyway?
Yeah.
He goes, David. So now I'm looking at the phone like, who? He goes, David, hold on. The next voice I hear is an English guy. Hey, Will, how you doing? It's me, David Nathan. I said, David, you're kidding me, right? No, man. I said, David, is that really Luther? He goes, yeah.
Oh,
man, put him back on the phone. Please put him. So he comes back on the phone. I'm like, Mr. Vandross, I'm so sorry. Man, I thought, hey, man, I'm getting nothing back from him. He is saying absolutely nothing.
Gosh.
So I said, hey, I just wanted to tell you, man, you're like my hero. You're my all-time favorite vocalist. And I hear on the other end, yeah. Okay. And he hands the phone to David.
if you could hide in a hole that day, that would have been the day, huh?
Man, I just remember telling my wife, like, I said, you're not going to believe this. And you're not going to believe how much of a fool I just made of myself.
The
next time I saw him, we were doing some award show together, and I think I was singing a couple of people before him or something like that, or he was a little before me. Probably I was before him. And, man, he kicked my ass that day. And then he just looked at me, and he kind of smiled a little bit. I was like, okay, all right, brother.
Oh, man, that is...
Mr. Empire State Building, all right, you got it. You got it, brother.
That is a funny story. That's a great story. Wow. I would say you should just collect all these stories about your life and put them in a book, but
I'm not a book person. I don't read it, so no one else would.
I think there'd probably be with some people that would disagree. They'd probably read it. They would definitely read that. So is it me, or did I hear a little bit of "That's the Way of the World" in "Don't Ask My Neighbors"?
Oh yeah, definitely, without a doubt. No.
You know what's bad about it is, I started to sing that song when I heard, you know, "Don't Ask My Neighbors." You know, I'm hearing that. Heart's fire. I'm like, oops, I'm not supposed to be singing that part. I'm supposed to be,
that was
intentional.
It was very much intentional.
Put a little nod in there to Earth, Wind, and Fire, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Maurice had produced that track. I mean, you know, the original track, Don't Ask Your Neighbor. So it was a nod to Maurice.
Well, I will tell you, the album is almost an hour of just great music to just sit back and with a beverage of your choosing and just enjoy with someone special. I mean, it's a really good album, and I hope that it will be another Will Downing success that I'm sure of it will be, because it's just a great work on that album. So I know you got to be proud of it. You know, you put that stamp of approval and it's out there, and you're just like, this is the best.
Yes, it's definitely one of the best projects I've done. And thank you first and foremost. You know, it's one of those things where, like, when I really concentrate on, there's a theme of the album.
Right.
I excel. I mean, and yeah, this is 28 years later. I'm now figuring this out. But all the albums done that were theme based, like Lust, Love, and Lies, and this album, and albums where, like, my back was against the wall. It was one of those pivotal kind of projects. I kind of excel, and this was one of those projects. I mean, another one was A Dream Fulfilled. I remember when we got to do that record, the president of the company, a guy named Chris Blackwell at the time, was on Island Records. We had had so much success with the first two albums, with the self-titled Will Downing, and then Come Together as One. He wanted me to do an album of kind of like these dance tunes, because we had done really well with the beat-oriented stuff, those albums, like A Love Supreme, and we did really well with the song Come Together as One overseas.
Okay.
We weren't really doing well in America, but we were doing really well overseas. And he said, man, let's do a whole album of stuff like that. And I fought him tooth and nail with that concept. I said, hey, man, I just have something else I want to say, and I want to do this. And, you know, we got to calling each other all kind of unpleasantries, and yeah. You know, you stupid, kiss my eye and all that. And
it's interesting what the tastes of out overseas music listeners and music lovers are. It's that up tempo dance beat that's just,
I mean,
I'd understand why you have to fight tooth and nail to protect your music the way you sing it. Yeah.
Yeah. So what he had done was, he said, okay, I'm going to allow you to do this record, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut your budget in half. He said, if you really want to do this record, you know, then you're going to have to do it with this.
Okay.
And he had taken away several thousands of dollars. And I just remember, like, calling all of my friends and just saying, hey, man, I'm going to pay you. I'm just not going to pay you what you're accustomed to getting.
Right.
But, man, you know, I need your help.
Right.
And that album ended up being, like, you know, like the one that kind of brought me back home to America.
Oh.
And had I Try and Go Crazy and My Dreams and, you know, I mean, not in My Dreams, I'll Wait, you know, songs like that.
Right.
And, you know, it did really, 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 really well for them. And it gave me an opportunity to say to him, I told you so.
Yeah. And you worked with and on our budget too.
Oh yeah, and we did it on budget, and then after it was all said and done, he ended up giving me like a lot more money back. You know, hey man, I made a mistake. Here you go. You know, here's this, and I apologize, and I just didn't know what you were trying to do. I didn't think you knew what you were doing, and you know, so you know, he was a gentleman about it.
Don't bet against Will Downing.
We bet on black.
Oh, I was about to say that. Passenger 57, always bet on, always bet on black.
Bet on black, baby.
Always. Well, as we're nearing the end of our time, what do you? What's down the road for you? What's what do you got planned in the future that you're willing to share with the listeners?
Well, obviously, I'll be touring this record, you know, promoting it as much as possible. I just finished doing this duet with Eric Roberson, and hopefully that should be out soon. Very, very, very nice song. So I was really happy to have received that phone call. And I guess at some point I'll probably start on album number 20.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. My mom wants me to do a kind of an inspirational gospel record.
Uh-oh.
And you know, you gotta fulfill mom's request, so that might be the list. So I don't know.
It would be a really challenging project, but it would be definitely fulfilling. It would definitely be a very fulfilling project for your mom. You know, that, you know, you gotta listen to your mom and do what mom tells you. But it would be definitely some an expansion of your already strong fan base to branch out into that. That would be wow. Look forward to some possibilities on that coming in the future.
Yeah. I mean, it could be interesting. I mean, I'm not that type of singer. Mm-hmm. In probably the way that most people kind of think of gospel these days,
right.
You know, it wouldn't be a traditional album in that regard. So I'm not going to be, you know, being the male Fantasia or, you know, I'm not going to be a Dorinda, you know, Clark or those amazing singers like that. Or, you know,
you're going to stick to what you know.
Yeah.
To do,
yeah.
And what you're going to do to.
Absolutely. I'd find some way to spin it. But,
You
know, just as far as the content is concerned, the message would get across, and that's more important than anything else.
Well, I will tell you that it's gonna if and when that album comes to fruition, it's gonna definitely be a hit. Like everything else that you touch. Has turned into obviously gold for you, and I will tell you that this has been a real treat for myself and for all the WCDR listeners who will be listening out there. The show is called The Wind Down with Will Downing, and he airs 8 to 9 p.m. Sunday evenings on WCDR Radio. It is a pleasure to have been able to sit down and chat with you for a little bit.
And, oh man, the pleasure was all mine.
I have to tell you, this is one of the great highlights of my life. So I'll tell you, it's been a blast, and I hope that we can do it again another time.
I hope so, man. Maybe it'll be over that gospel record.
Maybe we'll have to see how that goes. But listeners, it's been a pleasure. It's been a treat. You've just been listening to Marcus Moore and Will Downing chatting it up one on one. Thanks for listening.